Third hour, Darren Donica Chase here on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day to this point. Weather's beautiful here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. We always enjoy our chats with our next guest. Former Titans wide receiver Harry Douglas is on the line with us. Harry, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Well, we're actually talking about a football game that's actually going to take place tonight.
Yes. Are we though?
Yes.
We're talking about some stuff really, around the football game.
Not really. We're talking about, yeah.
There's a lot of yelling, but, you know, we're good now.
I want to ask you, as a former receiver, when you know, watching Drew Brees last night, watching Phillip Rivers on Sunday, watching Matt Ryan on Sunday, these quarterbacks that have incredible resumes, right? And I don't know whether they're future Hall of Famers or not. I think we know Drew Brees is. Matt Ryan and Phillip Rivers, we'll see. But they have these unbelievable careers, but then you start watching them at this point in their career and you're going, oh, okay, they don't make the same throws like they used to. Their arm strength is clearly way down. They're throwing a lot more interceptions than they used to. As a player, as a receiver that depends on those arms and depends on those quarterbacks, what is it like to go through that whenever you're kind of seeing that? Nobody wants to talk about it, right? But everybody sees it happening around them.
I'll tell you, first, from a receiver's standpoint, it's frustrating. It's frustrating, especially when you run certain routes. And I used to say this in practice. Our receiver group used to say this in practice all the time. We don't like to run for anything now. If we're going to be running, let's go ahead and connect. But it's frustrating for a receiver. Now, the flip side of it, you have, as a receiver and being in the NFL, you have to be a pro. You can't be jumping and screaming, jumping up and down and saying he missed me in this whole nine, because the other side of it is you also don't understand what's going on in that pocket. You don't understand the pressure that the quarterback may be having as he's trying to deliver the football. So a lot of those things play in and tie in, but at the end of the day, we're in this league for a reason, and guys have to make plays. And I have the utmost respect for all three of those guys, Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, and Phillip Rivers. All those guys have done a tremendous job in their careers. But, and honestly, I'm not going to hold back Tom Brady either. Watching Tom Brady on Thursday night and the velocity on the football,
good point,
was, I'm just going to say, it was terrible to me. I tweeted it one time. I was like, my goodness. He tried to throw a go route to Mike Evans, and it literally looked like a lollipop going in the air, like a little lollipop throw. And you could just see the expression on Mike Evans' face, like, who in the hell is he throwing the ball to? Like, literally, that was Mike Evans' expression and facial expression on that play. And I was like, my goodness, what is going on right now?
So when you see, and now you've just brought another, and that's a really good example. So I'm just through your eyes, you know what it's supposed to look like. You know, you know, how it's supposed to look coming out of the hands of the quarterback. Those guys that were just mentioned, and throw Tom Brady in there, because he definitely belongs in the discussion as well. What do you see right now out of them? Do you think when you see them that they are I mean, everybody knows their careers are winding down just simply because of their age, but yeah. I guess the question is, when you see how bad it's looked at times this year for all those guys, do you wonder if this is truly it for them?
Well, I'll tell you this. One of the things that all four of those guys have over a lot of quarterbacks that's played the football game ever is the intelligence and the understanding of the game and what the defense is trying to do before they actually do it. Now, we mentioned this thing called Father Time. Now, Father Time may be catching up to a lot of these guys. And another common denominator when it comes to all four is that none of them are mobile quarterbacks. They can't get away from pressure that a defense may bring to them and bringing blitzes and things of that nature. And you look at the NFL today, the NFL is going more to a dual threat quarterback. Doesn't matter who the guy is, a guy who can escape the rush, a guy who can throw the football on the run, the guy who can launch it still 40, 50 yards while he's rolling to his left or his right. That's just the model of the NFL game right now. And it's crazy because when I came into the NFL in 2008, that wasn't the case whatsoever. So it's crazy how time flies and things evolve, things change, and we have to change with the game.
In fact, we went up to Buffalo Harry to start the last hour and learn a little bit more about the Bills. And when talking about Josh Allen's play this year and how he's kind of taken that big next step, the step forward in his career, he's having an unbelievable season. The Bills reporter, who's the NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, he said that, you know, one thing that Josh Allen has done his whole career is run, right? But this year he's not. He's looking to make the pass. When you see Josh Allen this year, what are you seeing?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's really helping Josh Allen a lot is the emergence and the arrival of Stephon Diggs. Now, I think the Bills have one of the most underrated secondaries in the National Football League with Stephon Diggs, John Brown, and Cole Beasley. And they have these young guys, Isaiah McKenzie, who can do little speed sweeps, who can go out, line up in the slot and run routes. You have Andre Roberts, who is a return guy, but you can give him a speed sweep. And if you have to throw him in there to run a route, he can do so. And Josh Allen is just doing a great job of taking care of the football. That's the big thing. When you're a quarterback, you take your shots when it's there. He's not afraid. He's completing, if I'm not mistaken right now, 70% of his passes. He's just barely 70%, but that's good. That's good for Josh Allen. And he's given his football team a chance to win. That's all you can ask of your quarterback. Take care of the football. Make the plays you're supposed to make. If you make the heroic ones, we love that. But do not lose a football game for us and put our football team, and don't give our football team a chance to actually be victorious.
We're talking to Harry Douglas, the former Titans wide receiver, longtime veteran wide receivers in the NFL. I'm curious, Harry, as a longtime member of the Players Association, let's just set aside the virus issues that have plagued the Titans here. But the circumstances are, they basically have not practiced up until, help me guys, would the first practice have been Saturday or Friday?
Yeah, it's only been Tuesday? Like a couple of days.
So they've gotten two or three practices, one of which would be a walkthrough in a two-week span, and they're going to go out and play the Bills tonight. As a member of the Players Association, would you have a concern for player safety tonight? I know there's an issue of you got to get all the games in so everybody gets paid for 16 games, but I feel like that would be a really troublesome thing to feel like the team is prepared physically, et cetera, to be able to play an NFL game tonight. Do you have the same thought, or do you think this is just what you have to do?
I'm both sides of the spectrum. I do have concerns, but at the same time, guys in the NFL, they get paid money to be a pro. Okay, when you're away from the game, no one's going to babysit you and tell you, hey, you got to – probably get on the treadmill. Hey, you need to go outside somewhere, run around your neighborhood, stay in shape. You're expected to do that. The great teams are expected to do that. The bad teams probably won't do that. And that's why you see some of these organizations having a problem right now from top to bottom, because they have to be told to do everything. Now, if I was on this team right now for the Titans and we were going through what we were going through, I would have been working out every day on my own, some kind of way to keep my cardio up. I would have been stretching every day. I would have been doing yoga. It's all kind of things you can do virtually now. You can do yoga virtually. It's all kind of things you can do to stay in shape and be top notch when it's time to play ball again. You can't just sit there and wait for a coaching staff or the organization to hold your hand and tell you what to do. That's not what the NFL is about. This is not college. That's not how it works. So that's how I'm playing both sides of the spectrum.
So now let's take the part of it of the preparation. You've done the Zoom meetings.
Yep.
If let's say you're the offensive coordinator, for example, you're talking to the receivers. How much do you have to simplify the game plan tonight because you haven't been able to be on the field to practice and go through as much as you would normally do it? What should we look for tonight, and how would you approach it if you were a coach?
Well, I'll tell you this. First and foremost, football is not hard. I think a lot of people make football hard. If you believe in your football team, you believe in your O-line, you believe in your tight ends, your quarterback, and every receivers, running backs, everybody on your offensive line, and things of that nature, everybody on your offense, there's no reason to try to line up and trick people. If you feel like you have the better team, do what you do best. You do have to simplify things because you didn't have that on the field, because it's some things that you go through throughout a week offensively and defensively that you want to see live, and that's just not the case when it comes to this game tonight. So you have to bank on faith and bank on things that you've done well up to this point and lean on that, basically.
We're talking to Harry Douglas, longtime NFL wide receiver. The last time we had you on, I think we discussed Corey Davis and his struggles and what he needed to do different. Obviously, he's had a really good start to the season for the Titans. Looks like he won't be available tonight because of being on the COVID list. But have you seen anything different from him so far, or is it just the fact that Brown's been out and he's been able to capitalize on an opportunity?
I think it's a combination of both. I think it's one of the things, the elephant in the room is that the Falcons did not pick up his fifth-year option. Okay, so this is a contract year for you. So you want to do great. You want to ball out so you can get paid some kind of way. Now, I think Corey has did a great job of keeping a straight mind, a straight narrow, having tunnel vision, and just remaining focused on the task at hand, not putting himself before the team, but when the team calls his number, making those plays and being available so that the team can thrive and the offense can thrive. Now, some of it may be because Brown has been out, but that's the NFL period. You're going to have injuries. You can't – when you have an injury to a player, the great teams do not sit there and worry about what they're going to do offensively or defensively because someone is out. The great teams have backups or other players that are well-prepared that can step up and play the game of football and have success doing so, and they just move right along.
Harry, obviously you're in Atlanta, and so you're quite familiar with what's happening with your team with the Falcons. Were you surprised that it was a full cleaning of the house with the GM and the head coach, or is that kind of where you thought it was going to go?
That's kind of where I thought the direction it was going to head in, only because Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn worked hand-in-hand. They were in unison. They made decisions together. They did everything on one accord. And they were unified in doing so. So it would have been hard to let one go and not the other one. And everything they're doing was in a cohesive manner. Young guys, you understand what I'm saying? So
sure.
I think, and I'll say this, both of those guys are wonderful men. Thomas Dimitroff, he was the GM that drafted me. I had a chance to talk to Coach Quinn and be around him on numerous of occasions. Now, we got to understand that in the NFL, in this league, in any business, it's just like you're out there in everyday life. So it's the bottom line business now. You have to have results. And when you look at the Atlanta Falcons the last two seasons, they went 7-9, and then they started off the season 0-5, and then you are having the late game debacles to finish games and actually games that you should have won. So all of those things tying it together, plus on top of having the late game stumble in the Super Bowl, played a part in the decision that Arthur Blank made.
All right, now I have to ask you about this before we let you go. So Darren and Willie, pay attention. I know you went on another show in Charlotte earlier, and you said, quote, Teddy Bridgewater right now is the best QB in the NFC South. Why do you feel that way?
Well, when you look through the first five games, he's actually been the most consistent. He's the one guy, when I look at all the games of all the quarterbacks, who hasn't thrown lollipop footballs. You just don't see it. He's efficient. His percentage is better. He gets his offense into the right play. Now, it does help Teddy that he has a guy that's, Robbie Anderson is, top five in the NFL right now in receiving yards with 489 yards. So that was a great signing for him. And it's weird because coming into this year, I didn't think Teddy was going to struggle, but I didn't think he had enough around him. But Coach Rhule, Joe Brady, Teddy Bridgewater, all three of those guys, the three-headed monster, have been on the same page. And when you can have your quarterback, your OC, and your head coach on the same page, on one accord, you're going to get the start that you have for Teddy Bridgewater. And I love that he's doing the things that he's doing, because I always knew Teddy has been this quarterback. He was that quarterback in Louisville. Shout out to Louisville. I'm an alum. He was that quarterback in Minnesota before he got hurt. And we all seen what he did last year with the New Orleans Saints when he got his opportunity. So this is past due. He'd been deserved the money. He'd been deserved the accolades and the shine and the shining light that he's getting right now. And all his hard work and his even-keeled mindset is paying off right now.
Well, just to give you some context, when we made our preseason predictions, I said watch out for Teddy Bridgewater, and have been on the Teddy B bandwagon ever since. So it's kind of a running gag here on the show. Hey, Harry, appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thank you, guys.
He is Harry Douglas, former Titans and Falcons wide receiver. We'll have more coming on the game tonight and around the NFL next. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Don't forget, Corner Pub is the place you need to have on your mind, especially around Titans games. They've got locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown. They've got great beer specials, including a dollar off Yazoo and Happ and Harry's draft beers, plus Happ and Harry's bucket specials. Don't forget the pregame show. We'll be at Corner Pub downtown today. That's right, from 4 until 6 p.m. Jared and the GM will be doing their show there live, getting you ready for the Titans and Bills kickoff tonight at 6 o'clock. The pregame show will also have forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders a part of that from 4 until 6. And that's all brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by RumbleOn and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers.
Yes. Avid silly underdog pick player Chris Sanders.
Still searching for that first win. Still looking. But, man, has he created some great conversation and dialogue in our group text.
He has. He and Dwayne. It's been good.
He and Dwayne. By the way, Kelly Holcomb loves the Goodfellas GIF. He just loves
that.
He does.
Kelly's on fire, too.
Which does make me laugh every time he does that, of Ray Liotta laughing.
Yep.
He is on fire. He is absolutely on fire. We'll
fuego.
Recap all of that coming up Thursday at noon. So I brought up the aging quarterbacks. Watching Drew Brees last night, they were down 17 points. They came back and won in overtime. They didn't have Michael Thomas, which he had an altercation with a teammate. I don't know what's going on there. You had Phillip Rivers on Sunday, which looked like poo against the Browns. He was awful. You had Matt Ryan, who looked awful against Carolina. And Arthur Blank came out after cleaning house with his head coach and his front office, general manager, didn't exactly give a ringing endorsement to Matt Ryan and his future. Said, well, we'll just see. We'll just see what it looks like for Matt Ryan, which wasn't very good. I know Matt Ryan's starting to get up there in age, too, and he doesn't look the same. And maybe a new coach can change that, or maybe this is the start of, a massive decline in Matt Ryan, which, I think Matt Ryan is not an elite quarterback. He's just not. And you look at, Tom Brady was brought up by Harry Douglas. Watching him Thursday night against the Bears, there's been times this season he looks 43 years of age. And these guys just don't look the same. And you do wonder, what does that mean? Is this it? Like, those four right there, right now, what would you say, how many of the four between Rivers, Ryan, Brady, and Breeze, so the two R's and the two B's, how many of them today would you say retire at the end of the season?
Oh, gosh.
Two of the four.
Two of the four.
Yep. That's what I say. I think it's Breeze and Rivers.
Breeze and Rivers. So you think Brady comes back?
I do. I think he is stubborn enough to come back. Because he signed a 2-year deal.
Okay.
Let me preface this. If they do win the Super Bowl, then maybe he does retire. But I think his goal is to win a Super Bowl without Belichick. And if he doesn't accomplish that this year, he's going to come back.
Okay. Willie, how would you answer that?
Hard to say. We got a long way to go. I'm really interested in Rivers, of course, because it impacts the Titans a lot more. But I was really surprised, number one, how old he looked and how much he really did struggle against the Browns. And also, number two, yesterday somebody thought it was worthy to ask Frank Reich after 5 weeks, you still good with Phillip Rivers?
Yeah,
still your starter? And I just did not see that coming. I would have assumed that he'd get a little more slack than that.
I don't think Frank did either.
Yeah.
But so just concerned they paid him $25
million. Yeah. So, but just somebody thought it was worthy. Now, I don't know who it was. You know, it could have been just some whack job in the media that's trying to stir it up. But
well, somebody's asking a pitcher about pants. So, you know, who knows what you're going to get in 2020.
Yes. And Walker Buehler did handle that very well. This is not the time or place to talk about my pants. If they had won the game, that'd be one thing. But
after a loss, come on.
But Rivers is the one to watch. I have to think that as we sit here now, Brady, we know what his plan is, right? He wants to play till he's 45. He just signed this deal. I think he's going to play next year.
He's 43.
I think he's going to play next year unless something injury-wise happens. And he's shown enough signs that they're going to be competitive. It reminds me a little bit of the Joe Montana years with the Chiefs. He's not as good, but he's still good, right? He may not be the best in the game anymore, but he's still got something to offer at the very least, and I think that could be the case next year. But remember, Joe Montana spent 2 years with the Chiefs. The first year was really good, and they got to the AFC Championship game. And then the second year, not quite as good, but it still wasn't bad, right? He still had something.
It's kind of like Favre with the Vikings. The first year was good.
That's another good example. But Rivers, that one, I'm surprised how much he's struggling some. They've got a great defense. He doesn't have to be great. So after the season, I don't know that it's a given what happens next year with him.
So Matt Ryan.
So I'll say 2 out of 4. Ryan
so you
is
think
the tough
two
one.
Out of four too. Okay.
I think probably 2 out of 4.
Yeah, and because just to give perspective, Matt Ryan's the youngest of the four. He's 35.
And I would say he's last on the list.
Yeah, I think he's still going to play for a few years. Now, will it be for the Falcons? You know, does a new GM and a new coach come in and they just want to start from scratch and they draft?
Well, if the Falcons keep losing, they're going to be drafting Trevor Lawrence.
Right, they're going
to
have Lawrence.
Well, don't you think Ryan also could get to a point, he would be a prime candidate, if he wants to be an Andy Dalton or a Kerry Collins?
No
a Neil
question.
Neil O'Donnell, who would be
no
a
question.
Tremendous guy to have as a backup. Yeah,
Matt
yeah.
Hasselbeck.
If I'm the Tennessee Titans and he's available and you don't have to pay him a whole lot, I'd bring him in as the backup.
Yeah, if he wants to do that, he could probably play for another 3 or 4 years in that role.
No question. By the way, have you looked at Philip Rivers' stats this year? They've played 5 games. You know what his stats are? How many touchdown passes do you think he's thrown in 5 games?
I don't have them pulled up, so I'll just take a guess. 4.
How many interceptions do you think he's thrown?
Well, we know it's more.
6.
Well, he threw 3 the first week, didn't he? He threw at least two on Sunday. So
it's higher than that, then. Yeah, I don't know.
He's thrown 4 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
Okay. So I was around.
For 1,200 yards in 5 games. And like you said, their defense is what's carrying them. And Philip Rivers, look, he still does enough. Like he's still got – it's like Drew Brees like last night. That was going back to Harry Douglas saying, what these guys have, though, over the younger guys is, man, they're so street smart as in football smart, right? They understand the game way, way better. They're so much further ahead than the younger guys. They may not be nearly as talented anymore, but they understand the game and they know how everything works. And you know the game has slowed down for them, and so they're just so smart. And they'll find ways to win games, but they'll also find ways to lose you games too because they're just not very. They're just not the same quarterback. Philip Rivers probably looks the worst of the bunch.
I'd agree.
Drew Brees is definitely starting to look pretty bad, and Matt Ryan is looking pretty darn bad, even though he's – and Tom Brady, depending on the matchup, looks pretty bad. I think you guys are on par with probably 2, but there's a chance it could be 3.
Here's what I think, though, and this – because Brees and Brady have been successful – you know, as older quarterbacks. I mean, they're in their 40s now, but even in their late 30s, they've obviously had a lot of success. with what they've done. And I think a part of that, the trick, so to speak, has been, you know, you guys hear all the time of, well, your mind says yes, but your body says no. And they have found that balance of not listening. Oh, yeah, I can still sling it like I used to. I still got this. I've won all these championships. I can still play like I'm 30. And I think that they've found a way to balance of to compensate for what their body can and can't do anymore, and not, you know, not psych themselves out, so to speak. Now you're seeing that, you know, Brady is feeling good. He's got a new team. He's got all these great weapons to play with. And so maybe there was a little of, I can do more than I actually can. And it's, can he reel that back in and work with what he has? Because the fact of the matter is, he's 43 years old. He just is. He's the GOAT, but he's still 43 and father time is undefeated. Drew Brees, it's the same thing. He's got a lot to work with, and he doesn't necessarily have to do all the work. It's just get it to, when he's available, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, get it to those weapons. It's finding the balance in between your mind saying, I'm just as good as I've always been, to your body saying, yeah, no, you're not.
The reason I bring it up is because, Chase, you saw there was a pretty large group text after the Dak Prescott injury, and a couple of people in that group text said, oh, man, that stinks for him because now, you know, he's not going to get paid and blah, 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 because he was franchised. And I said, I don't think that's the case at all. Like, I still think Dak Prescott is absolutely going to get paid. And here's the reason I bring it up. Because of what we're talking about. Dak Prescott's 27 years old. Was that a gruesome injury on Sunday? Yeah. He's 27. And they're saying 4 to 6 months. Okay. You know, it was a compound fracture. I get it. It was gross. But do I think he will bounce back? Yeah. Do I think his career is over? No. Not at all. And the reason I say that, because then it morphed into this conversation of one of the people on the group text lives in Dallas. And they're like, the Cowboys have horrible cap room. You know, they've got salary cap issues, and they're going to have to – they can't afford to pay him that. Okay, whatever. If I don't believe that, because what's the next option? What are they running? Are they going to roll – you know, they roll him with Andy Dalton the next 3 years? So you're going to let Dak walk at 27? You just figure it out. You find out ways to make the cap work. GMs are pretty smart. They know how to – it's like accounting. You just move things around, and you ask this guy to restructure, and you just make it work. You don't let your franchise quarterback walk. But let's say they do. Are you telling me a team like Indianapolis, who isn't going to be bad enough to get Trevor Lawrence, isn't going to be bad enough to get Justin Fields? That's not going to be the case at all. So they're not going to get one of these big-time quarterbacks that everybody's going to be looking for in this upcoming draft. You telling me a guy like Phillip Rivers, I could easily see him retiring after this year and walking away. That Indianapolis wouldn't jump on paying a guy like Dak Prescott. Look, they have a hit. They know what a franchise quarterback does. You know, they've had the luxury of Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. Yeah, which, you know, I think is unfair. So you think they would jump on a guy like Dak Prescott? Yeah, I think sure. So. You think in these other teams that we're talking about, if Tom Brady said, I'm done, walking away, you don't think Tampa wouldn't jump? There would be a whole lot of teams standing in line for his services. So I still think he's going to get his big contract, and I still think he's going to get paid.
I think eventually you're going to be right. I think it may take one of those 1 year, you know, nothing to be upset with type contracts, but – you know, it could be similar to what Rivers, you know, got this year. But a 1 year, let's just see what he is. You know, make sure that he's good.
But remember, he has to sign that.
I know.
Why would he sign that?
It depends on what the market is. Keep in mind that this market's going to be different now. Because not just because of his injury, but because of the pandemic. So our team's going to be, as you know, I think, two, you know, a year ago, there would have been a team like Indianapolis that would have been like, yeah, I think he's going to be fine. Let's give him a 5 year, you know, whatever, and let's just pay him. I don't know now if that's going to be the case simply because of what's going on in the environment that with the pandemic, that they might say, hey, we think you're good. Let's do a 1 year deal here, $25 million, and then let's see what happens and we'll talk. Now, you're right, he has to sign it. He may bet on himself again and hold out until he gets that long term deal. But I think GMs could be a little more gun shy than they usually would because of what's happening in the climate.
I don't know. There's really no proof of that. I thought that too, but then you got the Alex Pietrangelo deal. Blew that out of the water. So much for a pandemic in the NHL. Vegas was
But that's the one.
He was the one guy.
Right, yeah. But I mean, the point is, if you're special, you still get paid. And in the NFL, Mahomes in a pandemic got that deal. In
Mookie
a pandemic,
Betts.
Chris Jones got that deal. In a pandemic, Mookie Betts got that deal. Dak Prescott is special. He's not just he's not just okay. The special players still get paid whether you're in a pandemic or not. And I don't think he's signing for less than what he made. He's making $32 million this year. He's not going to sign for less. I don't believe so. I think if you're special, pandemic or not, I think who it affects are the middle of the road guys. That's who it affects. The guys who aren't special. They have to sign shorter deals. They have to sign probably for less money, which is what I told you, by the way, off the air, that Craig Smith was going to get a 3-year deal for $10 million. That's what
yep.
I told you.
You did.
Before that deal happened, I said Craig Smith will get a 3-year deal, $10 million somewhere, and he got 3 years, 9.3.
Yeah.
So you were dead wrong.
I was. Technically, I was.
You were way off.
I was off by 700,000. But the point is, he is, as much as we love Craig, he's not Alex Pietrangelo, right? He's not Taylor Hall. So it's going to affect – the pandemic is going to affect players like him. It's going to affect Granlund, by the way. And so – but I just don't think it's going to affect a guy like Dak Prescott.
And you may be right. He could get franchise tagged again. I mean, I'm not ready
to – get $37
million. Yeah, I'm not ready to close the door on his time in Dallas. I mean, I don't think that this necessarily closes the door on that by any means, but just using the Colts as an example, and you may turn out to be right because you seem to, I don't know if you're an agent on the side but you seem to nail these things when it comes to contracts.
I said 4 years, $140 million, 80 of it guaranteed.
Okay.
I mean, that's.
And you were close on Duchesne's contract when he got signed.
Close, but Willie will tell you I was wrong.
Yeah, well, you were, but you were close. You were in the, I mean, Price is Right, who knows?
Well, you're right. If we were the Price
is Right,
a lot
of
these times I would be up on stage, right? In a lot of cases. All right, we'll come back. And by the way, Mitch Light at 1 o'clock. Derek Mason normally joins us Tuesdays at 1. Their game has been postponed against Missouri. It is not going to happen this week. So we are going to move. We'll just talk to Coach next Tuesday at his normal time slot at 1 o'clock. So we'll talk to Mitch Light. We'll get into the Vanderbilt situation and all things SEC and college football with him at 1 o'clock. We'll come back and wrap up the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Tuesday. I was eating a fortune cookie during the break. We went to P.F. Chang's over the weekend. Had an extra fortune cookie laying around. I was getting hungry. It's lunchtime. My fortune is a happy event will take place shortly in your home. I believe that fortune cookie is onto something. I believe that happy event will be Saturday evening. Because we've got our first ever kid pitch scrimmage on Saturday afternoon, and then Saturday evening there's going to be a birthday party for Maddox at the house with his baseball team.
Nice.
And he'll be there's going to be this thing called a game truck pull up to our house, and it's this big, gigantic video game truck. Chase, this may really interest you, and like all the boys will be in there playing video games, and it literally parks
cool.
parks in your driveway.
So it's like systems, like all consoles?
Yes, everywhere. TVs and the whole inside is just TVs and controllers.
What time is this party?
7 o'clock, which is really cool because it goes for 90 minutes in this video game truck. And guess what I'll be doing when they're in the truck? I'll be watching Georgia and Alabama.
Sipping on some bourbon?
I mean, they're in the driveway in a truck. I don't need to be supervising anything. I'll be sitting here watching Georgia and Bama.
Where are the
kids? Let them video game away. So that is a very good, that was a very smart fortune cookie, because I agree with that cookie. That'll probably take place on Saturday.
The big niner for Maddox. I saw the pictures on the socials, so happy birthday to him. It's crazy. I know. Yeah, my little cousin today is 22. So
Not little anymore.
So today is his birthday. So
happy birthday to your cousin who you didn't give his
Thomas,
name out.
Thomas, sorry.
Okay.
Cousin Thomas.
So we brought up earlier that the NFL may be discussing a bubble for the playoffs, but there was a tweet put out there kind of refuting that. Willie, what do you got?
Well, it was The Athletic that actually put out the story speculating that L.A. and Dallas would be targets if they wanted to go to a bubble and if the NFL is considering a bubble. Mark Mask, or Maskey, who I think was on our show to talk about the whole nickname thing, he's with the Washington Post. He's also had a number of important tweets regarding the Titans situation the last week or so, so we've referred to him a bunch. An NFL source says the concept of a postseason bubble is currently not being discussed, but who knows where it will be in a couple of months. Another source says he hadn't heard anything along those lines. The NFL previously had said it wasn't ruling out a postseason bubble. So you have one story saying, hey, they're starting to talk about it. Now, who knows where we'll be in a couple months? I don't know if that's the way to go. I would have to think you've got to be setting up the possibility of doing it. And in the article for The Athletic, the point they make is this. Right now in Major League Baseball, I say you probably can't rule it out, but judging by what happened with the NBA and the NHL, the one thing that you got pretty certain of is as the tournament unfolded is you're not going to wake up one morning and say, the best player on this team can't play tonight, right? Positive test. That's what you take out of the equation. And I'm going to guess, even though it's not the same kind of thing, they weren't able to quarantine as long, but baseball hopefully has gotten to that point. At least there's a lot of confidence, right, that you're not going to have, you know, three guys in the Braves who can't play tonight or have to, even worse, stop the series for a while. That's a problem. I just think it's very risky to not go that route once the NFL starts its postseason tournament, right? You just cannot afford to have something like this happen the week of a game.
I think it would be extremely foolish if the NFL isn't discussing that.
But what is it you said earlier when I brought up, you know?
I know. They live up on, you know, they live in the Governor's Club up on the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
And they just look down upon everybody else, and nothing will affect us, and well, as we've seen, that's not true.
Right. It makes so much sense, but yet they're like, eh, eh.
By the way, as we just saw last night in Major League Baseball, you can have fans. You can have fans. They had fans last night at the Braves-Dodgers game, and Freddie Freeman said it was actually a nice mix. He said it's probably like half and half, Braves fans and Dodgers fans.
And I even saw that I think it was Barrett Salee that we had on from CBS. He posted on Twitter that the get-in price was about $80, I think, to get a ticket, which is not awful.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
Reasonable. For an NLCS? Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
I'm just saying it can be done. And oh, by the way, as we talked about Chip Carey in the first hour, the Braves are playing every day in this series. Every day. Think about it. They're a game in. It's Tuesday. And if this goes to six when Georgia and Alabama play on Saturday, that'll be game six. That would never happen in normal. You know what I mean? That would be what? between travel and days off, they would be going into what, probably game four?
I would say
in a normal circumstances.
Yeah.
And that would be game six on Saturday.
Right. And the Braves pitching questions would have a much better answer if they had the off day.
Yeah. True.
Because you could have some guys on short rest and, you know, not have to worry about having that fourth or potentially fifth guy, but it's the schedule that they laid out, and I believe that the World Series will have off days, if I'm not mistaken, but it is weird that they're just they're trying to get it done. They don't want to be in the bubble long, and they're just trying to run through this and then get to the off season.
And, by the way, with them playing, at least in Arlington, it guarantees that their games get played. What a concept.
Yep.
There's nothing that's going to stop the games from playing.
Right, because of the roof.
If there's bad weather, then they shut the roof and they move on. They keep playing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hopefully, if baseball does happen here, hopefully that's the route they go.
Yeah, and don't you think
if the Titans ever build a new stadium, hopefully that's the route they would go.
Don't you think that if the NFL does wake up and say, hey, you know what, a bubble's not a bad idea, that they might look at Arlington because Jerry's World has a retractable roof?
Well, that's what's in the article. That's what's in the article from The Athletic, that the new stadium in Los Angeles and Jerry's World are the two. Here's the quote from the unnamed
source. I think I brought that
up
a couple weeks ago on the show. I said if they went to a bubble format, I was like, that new stadium in L.A. and Dallas would probably be the first two they would look at because of, one, their new stadiums, retractable roofs, and two, those areas allow you to conduct practices, right? They allow teams to go conduct practices and do what they need to do during the course of a week.
You got two ballparks sitting right there that you could use if you wanted to.
Could. Or they have a zillion high schools and colleges in that area.
Or high schools that look like colleges.
Or that too.
Don't you guys think it's interesting, though, that they have this tweet comes out, and you have one official saying, I don't know that any of this, I haven't heard any of this being discussed, but you have a lot of details from a source somewhere in the Athletic article saying a potential scenario has been discussed, is a wild card game weekend being played as normal, the advancing teams moving into a bubble, which is how baseball did it, right, for their first round. That would mimic baseball, which staged the playoff first round in team markets, and then they went to the two different bubble sites. In fact, they had, what, did they play in four different parks for the divisional series?
Yeah, correct.
So they had essentially four bubbles.
Petco, Minute
LA,
May,
San Diego, Dallas, Houston.
But it says it's a big undertaking if they do this. That's the quote. So if it is, and we know it is, then I don't know what the problem is by coming out and saying, if you're the league, we're discussing it as a last resort, right? It's not something that we want to do, but, I mean, the more you look at it, it's inevitable they're going to have to do this, don't you think?
Of course. That's what we've been talking about.
It's got to be.
For weeks and weeks and weeks on
the
show.
I guess the big difference, though, is the NFL in some markets, and keyword is some, they're already allowing some fans in. So if you're I'll just use the Titans as an example. If you're the Titans and you get to the divisional round, you've been having some fans in your stadium. You want to be able to have that gate. I mean, I get that part of it. But still, if you're going to risk not being able to finish the games, then wouldn't you rather trade that and be able to play the games, get the TV revenue, and have a situation?
Some gate.
Yeah, some gate.
Some gate.
You could have probably some gate, but you'd also have the security of really feeling like you're going to crown a champion without really compromising the postseason.
Let me ask you guys this. Why do we think that, you know, NFL markets, that we're seeing these kind of sparser crowds? Why? I mean, you got Dan Mullen is asking for the Swamp to be sold out. If you watch the Georgia game or A&M, they don't look like they're – I mean – is it full? No. I wouldn't say it exactly looks sparse. True? So if they're doing that in college right now, so what's to stop the NFL from – I mean, if you played in Jerry's World, that place has a seating capacity. You can get it up to close to 100,000. But I think it seats, what, 80-something thousand? But then you have I guess, a GA area. But, I mean, you couldn't put 20, 25,000 people in there safely?
Well, I'm sure you could put more in there. But it just comes down to the undertaking, using the word in the article. The more you have, the more people you have to employ to make sure that it's done right.
But why hasn't that been a problem?
They're doing it in college. They can't do it in the pros?
I mean,
are they doing it right in college? I think there's been plenty of shots where if you took a freeze frame, if you just paused your TV on a certain crowd shot, just randomly, and said, okay, are the people in the crowd shown on TV right now, how many are wearing masks, how many aren't, how many are not, but they're taking a bite of their sandwich or whatever they got from the concession stand, how many of the people that are sitting together that aren't distance apart, are they in the same family or are they not in the same family? The more people you have in there, the more variables that you have, and the more inevitable lax standards you're going to have, right? It's just going to happen, right? There's the discipline it takes to have 20,000 people all doing everything right the entire time you're there. It's just not realistic. So are you willing to do that? Is it just upon the fans, the liability? You know, how does the city that's taking place feel about 20,000 people being in there? I mean, there's just a lot. It just depends on how much caution you want to take, how much risk you want to take.
I'm just saying, you don't think just think of the mentality of the NFL. I've already laid it out, this show. They're looking at the college game and going, well, look what they're doing. I mean, why can't we do
they're
something
doing
like
it.
That?
They're doing it. But you had a pretty staunch memo from the commissioner of the SEC last week saying, hey, stay on these protocols, man. Stay on it. And then you had a coach right after that on Saturday say, well, we just lost this game. We got a home game next week. Let's have a full crowd. Let's have a full stadium.
He cited what the governor said. used it to the fullest. Okay, he's like, the governor said,
right,
we're opening this sucker up.
That's the way to play it. I mean, if you're going to play it. Like,
but is that really he's an outlier, right? He's the only coach I've seen that says we want a full stadium.
Well,
but by that is part of the equation is what is your area allowing you to do? And then, you know, what is the area not allowing you to do?
But he was saying that crowd at A&M made a difference in the game. So I think he was
probably
also caught up in the moment of
absolutely he was
about losing. 100%. It was probably loud. Those people were loud that were there, and it affected the game when they just lost, and so, yeah. All right,
go ahead.
I was just saying, we need to come back and start the fourth and final hour with Mitch Light from The Athletic. We'll talk some college football, speaking of that, with him next on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.